you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad you're here. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name's David, and hopefully I'll get a chance to say hello to you at lunch today. Why don't you take your Bible and open it or turn it on to Matthew chapter 12. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be one in the row in front of you, and Matthew 12 is going to be on page 816. If you don't have a Bible, come see me at lunch today or when we're finished, and I'll make sure that you have one. As we move forward in this series that we've been in throughout the fall, the Game Changer series, this morning, I want us to actually look back at something that I showed us. If you were here for worship on October the 6th, you may be going, I don't know if I was here on October the 6th. Well, it was 35 days ago from this morning, and what was happening at that point in time in our city and in our nation, it captured our nation's attention. It captured our city's attention. It really came out on October the 2nd, 2019, and I want us to watch a short clip. Again, I showed this to us 35 days ago. It's a clip of a man named Brant Jean, who's the brother of Botham Jean, who was murdered by an off-duty Dallas police officer named Amber Geiger in his own apartment. And this clip that we'll see is just about a 3.5-minute clip. It's from the impact statement, or the impact phase of the court proceedings after the guilty of murder verdict and the sentencing of 10 years in Texas State Prison already had been handed down by the jury. And if you were here on that day when we showed it before, would you just raise your hand? Yeah, I told you on that day that when we get to Matthew 12, I'm going to show it to you again. So I try to be a man of my word. If you didn't see it before, you'll see it now, and you may have already seen it online. But this happened 35 days ago, and I want us to watch this short clip again. Let's watch this together.
If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. And I don't think anyone can say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
Thank you.
The reason that I wanted us to see that video again is because I truly believe that it was a game-changing moment for many people who have viewed it. But more importantly, as I watch it alongside reading these words from Matthew 12 that Jesus spoke, what I keep hearing the Lord say to me is, don't miss mercy. Don't miss mercy. You see, what saturates this scene and this headline from the paper, anger and forgiveness, what saturates this, what saturates what was happening in the courtroom, is mercy. 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 One commentator that I was listening to who reflected on what happened that day in the Dallas courtroom said these words: a partial measure of justice was handed down, but a full measure of mercy was on display. Full measure of mercy. And while there have been 38 days worth of other headlines, other news stories that have come and gone and have vied for our attention and pulled at our different emotions since this one that came out on October the 3rd. As we gather today, what I believe Jesus desires for each of us to hear from His Word and from His heart is this: don't miss mercy. Don't miss mercy. Let me show you from our text this morning in Matthew 12 today why I believe that Jesus is reminding us not to miss mercy today. I want us to start in verse 1. We'll read through verse 21. Along the way, I'm going to stop and kind of give some commentary. It's really interesting what happens here because Jesus is in a conversation with these religious leaders that are looking to find a way to catch him or to get him or to really destroy him. And he's in this conversation, and through this conversation that Jesus is having with these religious leaders, he's just going to make reference to these several different laws in the Old Testament, these several different stories that the religious leaders would have known. He's not going to stop and say, hey, in 1 Samuel such and such, or in Exodus such and such, or as it says in Leviticus or Numbers. He's just going to make reference to it, and they would have known, and many in the crowd probably would have as well. As we're going through it, I'll try to point those out just so you can kind of go, okay, thanks, I see that, okay, there it is. Wow, there's a lot of stuff that's being said here that we may not catch at first glance. And so as we work through this, this theme of mercy is going to surface. Let's start here in verse 1 and we'll work our way through and then we'll apply it to our lives. It says in verse 1, at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on when? On the Sabbath. Let's take a quick little note here about the Sabbath. Jewish rules of conduct about the Sabbath, about the day of rest, were extremely detailed, okay? One biblical scholar notes that the Sabbath observance was really at the heart of the whole Jewish legalistic system. And so when Jesus in this text here appears from the religious leader's vantage point to violate the traditions of how that Sabbath day should be honored, he's striking a raw nerve with the religious leaders. And because the religious institution had made the Sabbath in that day, we think of it as a day of rest. It was anything but a day of rest to a Jewish person trying to observe the Sabbath. I mean, it had just become a time and a day of frustration, of anxiety about trying to keep all the rules, all the regulations, all the laws that had been weighing down the Jewish people. And what was intended all along by God was that the Sabbath would be a holy day, a day of rest. And instead, it had become a royal headache, a back-breaking burden of religious nonsense that totally missed the mark of what God had intended for the Sabbath to be for his people. It's kind of like when you get so worked up for Christmas and it just becomes a stressor that there's no peace on earth, especially not your life on earth, because you're trying to get all this stuff done and you feel the weight of it. Magnify that 1,000 times, and that's how Jewish people felt about the Sabbath. The weight of it, not the rest in it. So starting over at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what's not lawful to do on the Sabbath." And Jesus said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? And those who were with him," he's referencing 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 through 6. "How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence." Now he's referencing Exodus 25, 30, and Leviticus 24, verses 5 through 9. We didn't know that, but they all knew that. I mean, he's just dropping it on them. "Hey, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him, and how he entered the house of God and he ate the bread of presence, which it is not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law," now he's referencing Numbers 28, verses 9 and 10, have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless?" Question mark. See, he's going, think about it. These priests, they're working on the Sabbath. They're profaning the Sabbath. Well, Sunday is not a rest day for pastors. It's a full-on work day. Some people think it's the only day we work. The rest of the time, we just kind of pray and nap. Priests and pastors today work on Sunday, the Sabbath day. So it's not a day of rest for the clergy. And yet they're not breaking the law, are we? No. No, they're living their calling. They're doing their responsibilities. That's what Jesus is saying here. Look at verse 6. "I tell you, something greater than the temple is here." Whoa. That's a big statement from Jesus. If you understand how the temple is right in the middle of Jewish understanding about their relationship as the people of God with God, their creator. And then he says this in verse 7. "And if you had known what this means," he's about to quote Hosea 6:6. "If you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless." And then watch him right here. Underline this. This is a massive statement that he makes. Verse 8, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Boom. You go, why boom? Because right here in verse 8, Jesus just declared himself to be the Messiah and thus the one who is able to make the call on what the Sabbath is meant for. Look at verse 9. "Jesus went on from there and he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand," a paralyzed hand. "And they," the religious leaders, "asked him, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, Jesus?' So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, 'Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out?'" He's referencing Exodus 23, verses 4 and 5, and Deuteronomy 22, 4. Isn't it interesting how Jesus just, bam, whoom. They ask him a question, scripture, 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 scripture. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood and ran all the religious weasels out of it." That's what he's doing here. He's exterminating religiosity and replacing it with relationship. Look at verse 12. Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? A human being than a sheep. So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out. And it was restored, healthy, like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against Jesus on how they could destroy him. Look at verse 15. Jesus, aware of this, Jesus is always aware of everything, by the way. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. He didn't start posting. He didn't have this massive Facebook rebuttal. Bam! No, what did he do? He just withdrew from there. Men and women, sometimes the wise things to do when things get heated in your surroundings is to withdraw for a bit. To remove yourself, to let things cool down, and see what happens next. That's what Jesus is doing here. His time had not yet come. So as he withdraws himself, look what it says here. And many followed him, and he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He's citing Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 3. And this was written, spoken 700 years before Jesus was born. And now Matthew's tying this Isaiah prophecy back to Jesus. And he says this, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break and a smoldering wick he will not quench until he brings justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Man, there's so much that we just read in those 21 verses. There's so much we could get into here and unpack. If we took the time, we could invest the rest of this month, probably until Jesus comes back, whenever that is going to be, unpacking what was written here, what was said here. But what the Lord's been saying to me, and I have the responsibility to speak to you, and for us to look at together, in this passage, in these chapters that we've been reading over the last several weeks and months in this Game Changer series. It started back in Matthew 9 and then in 10 and then in 11 and now we're in 12. We're going to wrap up in chapter 12. And I just hear the Lord saying to me, don't miss mercy. Don't miss mercy. Men and women, these verses are saturated in the mercy of God. The Pharisees, the religious people, they start nitpicking about Jesus' disciples walking through a grain field on a Sabbath day, picking some grain and eating it because they're hungry. And Jesus is going, you're missing the point, you religious weasels. And then what happens is that Jesus starts trolling them. You ever trolled anybody online? Jesus trolled before you did. You know, what are you talking about? He goes, haven't you read about David? Those religious people go, well, of course I've read about David, as they hitch their pants up like Gary Patterson on the sideline. Had to throw that in. You go, who's Gary Patterson? Don't worry about it. Of course I've heard about David. We're experts on all things David, all things in the law. And then Jesus just starts dropping knowledge like the Nazareth law dog that he is. Boom, 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 boom. And then he ends up citing a religious loophole law about saving a sheep on the Sabbath. And he gets right to the heart of the issue in verse 12 when he, as the Messiah, makes a ruling on the law in verse 12. Look at it again. Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And all that he's saying there ties back to what he just said in verse 7. Look again in verse 7. And if you had known what this means, say it with me, would you? I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you wouldn't have condemned the guiltless. Right there, Jesus is quoting the Old Testament prophet Hosea, chapter 6, verse 6, about how God desires mercy over some kind of sacrifice, mercy and people and relationships, not necessarily rules and laws and religion. Why does he prefer mercy over those other things? Because Jesus knows, and we've talked about it before, but we'll see it again. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion, but rules within relationship leads to repentance. And that's worth taking a screenshot of and remembering this week. See, men and women, mercy is at the heart of God's relationship with his creation, his people, all people, Jews and Gentiles alike, Republicans and Democrats. You're surely not that. Yes, all people. That's why Matthew went on to quote that prophecy that Jesus was fulfilling in verses 18 to 21 about Jesus being the chosen servant of God who will proclaim justice to the Gentiles in verse 18. And how in his name, in the name of Jesus, why we sing so much about the name of Jesus, because that's where hope is found. It's verse 21. Justice for all people who've been wrong. Hope for all people who are in despair. Both of those things are found in the name of Jesus, and it's drenched in the mercy of God. And while all of the Bible is important, and the rules and the laws all have deep meaning, they all are meant to come back to a place of mercy that is found in the heart of God that he has towards all people. All people. And what the Lord just keeps impressing upon me as I've studied and prayed and prepared this message with this passage is don't miss mercy. You see, when Jesus says in verse 7, and if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Again, he's quoting Hosea 6:6. Now, please hear me on this. Please hear me on this. Every single word that Jesus spoke is incredibly important. His words are worthy of close investigation, close reading, careful study, and then living those words out as best we can. But whenever you see Jesus speaking words and then speaking them again, that's like a red light flashing going, don't miss this, don't miss this, don't miss this. I mean, if Jesus took the time to say it twice, we need to go, this must be doubly important for us. And so when it comes to this verse that's quoted from Hosea 6:6, Jesus just spoke in Matthew 12, verse 7. It's not the first time that he's referenced the significance of mercy from this Old Testament prophet. Look back just a couple of chapters, a couple of pages in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus in Matthew 9, he's in another discussion with the Pharisees about the people that he's hanging out with. The Pharisees are going, Jesus, again, you're breaking all the rules. You're breaking all the customs by eating with these kinds of people, these sinners, these tax collectors, these people who don't live by the rules like you and I live by the rules. Why are you doing that? And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 to 13, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. Say it with me. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus, right here, he's saying, guys, let mercy lead. Let mercy lead. I preached a sermon by that title on August the 18th called Let Mercy Lead. And as I'm studying for this sermon here in Matthew chapter 12, I get to verse 7 and I'm thinking, Lord, I've already preached everything I know to preach on mercy. I got no more soap. I've said it all that I can say. Just let them listen to August 18th sermon. It's online. What I kept hearing Jesus say back to me in my prayer time and my studies, don't miss mercy. Don't miss mercy. I mean, yes, here in Matthew 9:13, and then again in Matthew 12:7, let mercy lead. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire mercy, not some religious song and dance. I desire mercy. Because, David, if you miss mercy, then you miss me. And if the church misses mercy, the church misses me. And mercy is so important to God that Jesus took the time to say it twice within three chapters. And so the reason that I wanted us to take time to watch that Brent Jean impact statement that he made to Amber Geiger on October the 7th, 2019, just like we took time as a church family to watch it together on Sunday morning, October the 6th at church, is because, friends, we can't miss mercy. We must never get so numb to mercy that what's important to us is just the next headline. I mean, has anybody been going back and reviewing the details of this headline over the last 38 days? Has anybody just repeatedly gone back and watched that victim impact statement? Or is that the first time that you've really watched it since the last time we saw it together? Yeah. And Jesus is going, I get that. But I also want you to get, don't miss mercy. Don't miss it. We must not miss mercy. And I don't know what Amber Geiger is thinking about today as she sits in her prison cell on day 42 of a 10-year prison sentence. But I cannot help but believe that at some point in her day-to-day, and quite possibly at some point in the day of every day of the rest of her life on this earth, that she will remember what mercy felt like. Did you notice she kept going back? She knew as soon as she walks out of the Frank Crowley Courts building in Dallas, Texas on August the 2nd, she's not going to feel that from him anymore. And yet she'll never forget it. See, in the middle of a guilty of murder conviction and in the reality of that 10-year prison sentence, while swimming in the confusing waters of anger and forgiveness, mercy was leading. Did you hear what he said? I forgive you. I love you. Can I hug you? And as I listened with fresh ears, I went, oh my goodness, that's an echo from the cross. When in the middle of the sacrifice to appease the wrath of God, because he loved us so much and knew we were in deep weeds without it, he said, I forgive you. I love you. Can I hug you? Don't miss mercy today, people. It's what God desires from my life and your life. And we must never get tired of leading with mercy.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.